and serve you with the topic of his choosing, which is trees of righteousness.
Let him bear it, if you please.
Friends, I'm pleased to see you again and talk about the same old story. It never grows old. And you know, I think the Lord gave us different illustrations and pictures in his word to impress these things upon our minds a little more. If we had just the plain written word, we'd take it, but it's not so easy to remember. So I like where I can to take an illustration from God's word, and there's a story around it. Now, as you know, there's 120 different pictures of the church. 120. And we're going to take one which I believe takes in everything from our consecration to the time we finish our course in death. And that is a tree of righteousness. I'll read you first a few scriptures, then we'll go into the literal, find out a few things about the literal tree and see how aptly it applies to you and to me. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And again in Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. There's really a sermon in that wonderful verse. You notice there that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he, Jehovah, might be glorified. Now we come to the literal tree. Everybody that plants a tree has something, a set purpose in view. That tree is usually to bear fruit. And you know the scriptures about the parable of the tree. If it doesn't bear fruit, it's cut down. And the object, dear friends, God's object and purpose in planting you and me is that we might bring forth fruit to his praise and his honor and his glory. Now, if you, I don't know how much you know about literal tree planting. I've had quite a bit of experience in this. And particularly in clay soil, you have to dig a big, deep hole, deep and wide. And you fill that with good soil, real good soil. There was a neighbor of mine. He planted a lot of trees, and he carried this out except one tree. He didn't believe in the theory, so he would plant one tree his own way. And immediately you got into his orchard, you could see that tree stunted. It dipped, but only half the size of the others. He hadn't followed out the instructions. He wanted to make sure that what they told him at the nursery was correct, and he found out by practical illustration. Now, as I said, you have to dig a big hole and fill it with good soil. Then you have to see that the roots are good. When you buy a tree, you look at the roots, see that it has good roots. well proportioned, not just one, but all around, and a good tap root. And then you plant this tree, you make the place for it, and you sift that soil all around those roots. So the roots are not just on one level. You have to be very careful with this. And then you tie it to a stake. Put a stake, otherwise the winds will loosen it all up and practically pull it out. And it has to have a stake for a few years. And then, of course, usually the stake rots or something like that, but by that time it's well established. Now this fits our case very well. You and me cannot plant ourselves. As the scripture says, we are trees of God's own planting. It's a wonderful thing when we realize this. He isn't planting none of the world. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. As a tree planted, dear friends, when you make that consecration and you are spirit begotten. Now the object of the husbandman is that you bear fruit. Now these, the roots of the tree, they correspond well to our faith. God wouldn't have planted you and me if we hadn't a certain amount of faith. And that faith has to feed on something. Yes, it has to have good soil. And you know, the good soil is the divine plan of the ages. It's a wonderful depth there. As the apostle says, the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of this wonderful plan of God. Though that faith of ours has room to expand. We have to have all the plan of God for our faith to expand. I have seen Christians had faith in one particular thing, and it's all they studied, several times a week, one particular item of truth. They get lopsided, and the lopsided tree never bears fruit. But God, dear friends, has given you and me that vast storehouse of truth, that we might take it all in. And all these roots of faith go down deeper and deeper. And the old tap root goes straight down, right into the ransom. You know, we were speaking last night about the foundation of our hopes, the ransom. Then these other roots of faith go into all the plan of salvation. We begin to realize then why God has called us. There's a purpose in view. We have to look to the doctrines. And as we look into God's plan and His Word and these wonderful doctrines, you know, all those roots going down and round there. Now after a time, as we said, the stake is removed. Now that stake in your case or mine, I'll speak of my own case. The stake in my case when I came in the truth first was a faithful brother. If I was perplexed about anything, I'd go to him. He was my stake. But God in due time removed that old brother. He's in the kingdom now, I believe. And the winds of adversity comes now. And do you know what a wind does to a tree? It makes those roots go stronger and stronger and deeper. You know, God is looking for trees that could stand alone. Yes. It might surprise you, but that is the fact. God wants you to make an individual Christian character. So that if all the other brothers and sisters went into something else, you could stand. This doesn't mean, dear friends, we're not to meet together. Oh, no. But many and many a time I've seen more than half the class go into some error. Their stakes were removed, and the first wind that came, they went. But he, you know, these winds of adversity, God allows them. That tree sways to and fro, and as the wind comes, it goes deeper. And after a year or two, that tree should be able to stand all the winds of adversity. We wonder sometimes, or at least we forget, why the Lord allows this and that and the other. But it must come. Those roots have got to go down and right on the whole our faith into the Word of God. Not the theories of men. Possibly you all were in the normal systems years ago. You thought you had faith in that, in that kingdom. But you weren't established in anything. But God has given us His sure word of promise, the wonderful truth, that we might bear fruit. Now, with a tree, as it grows up, it has to have leaves. Yes, it has to have leaves. You've never seen a tree that bore fruit without having leaves. Yes, it has to have leaves. Now, what would the leaves represent? The leaves represent our profession of our faith. Yes. These leaves, you can tell the condition of a tree by its leaves. If the leaves are good and healthy, the tree will bear fruit. Yes, it'll bear fruit eventually. There was a lady asked me once to go and see two of her camellias. They were both planted at the same time in the same soil, and one was only half the size of the other. And I had to look around, and one was in just a little cleft of the rocks, only just a little soil, and it couldn't grow. It's like many of the theories of today. They go just that far, and it cannot go any further. But in the right soil, it does bring forth the proper leaves, the profession, the doctrine. You remember the trees that's planted by the rivers of water in Revelation? That pictures the church after they've been glorified. And it says the leaves will be for the healing of the nations. You know, the nations, when they come back, the first thing is needed to heal them, heal the minds. They're full of false doctrines and theories. And that's the first thing God is going to do. He's going to give them a pure language, a pure message. And their minds will be healed, and then they'll go up the highway of holiness. And this divine plan that you and me are getting established in today, that's the profession. That's what's going to heal them. These beautiful truths that you and me are being grounded in today, that's the first thing, the pure language to heal the nation. Now, these truths, they with us, put down the roots deep. You know, the roots have to grow. The very fact that the tree is growing shows the roots are going down, taking hold on these things and making them their own. If you had a lot of trees all together, all close together, and you took them all away but one, the first windstorm would take that tree away. Every time. You know, the tendency is to lean on the other one, like these trees when they're in clumps. One lean on the other. One is protection for the other. But in this case, the Lord wants you and me to make this an individual matter. And these doctrines is what the Lord has given us so that we might be firmly established and trees of righteousness. The winds, you know, as I think I said before, the winds come on these trees, and the more the wind blows, the deeper the roots go down in the firmament. And then the tree, it has to have sunshine. Oh yes, it has to have sunshine. Last year in British Columbia, we got hardly any sunshine. And the fruit was an awful color. Wasn't number one, hardly any of it. The sunshine and the cold nights brings forth a beautiful luster and a color on the fruit. We have a very hot day, usually in the fall, and then the nights are very chilly. And he puts that finishing touches onto the fruit. Now, is there any illustration in that that fits our case? Yes, dear friends, there is. God gives us the sunshine, his favor, the meeting with each other, and talking of these beautiful truths. Then there's something happened, the chill and the cold. Some brother's been unfaithful, saying something against us, or something like this, or we come to some adversity. That's necessary for your character and mine, that we might be mellow. And so that wonderful fruit has the beautiful color and the bloom to it, and a wonderful perfume too, bright fruit. You know how we tell when the fruit is ready to be picked? We go and just give it a little lift. It becomes easy, it's ready to pick. Now God is looking towards your character and mine to see when we're ready to be picked. If that mellowness of character is developed, I believe the Lord will take us home. Are we sticking to the things of this earth? Are we planning to stay here all these years, like some are? Is our hope centered in the glorious kingdom, or is it centered on the earth? If it's centered in that glorious kingdom, we're ready to be plucked. If our hearts, in our hearts, there's no bitterness towards those that persecute us, it'll bring forth a beautiful bloom on the fruit. Yes, a beautiful bloom. God realizes that we have to have all these adversities before we can be ready or fruit to his honor and glory. Now these professions, we'll come back on these professions, the leaves of professions. As I said before, no tree ever bore fruit that didn't have leaves. And these leaves are our professions. What are we doing about it? Are we ashamed of what we believe? Can we give to our neighbors and friends a reason for the hope that is in us? Do we tell this glorious message near and far, or to those who have the ear to hear? We're not ashamed of it, are we? This beautiful message. Now, on the other hand, when we tell others this beautiful message, do we get cross because they cannot believe it? Now, all these things are questions we ask ourselves. Then we realize whether the tree is really growing. And these professions that we have, these wonderful doctrines, they are, when we are speaking them out to others, you know, those roots are going down deeper. We're being more and more convinced that this is God's plan and that he has planted us. You know, God planted one tree many thousands of years ago. Just one. And that was Adam. You remember in the Daniel 4, spoken of this beautiful tree that really, it reached up to heaven. It reached right up to heaven. Yes, Adam had communion with God. and the leaves thereof were fair. The birds of the air found shelter in its branches, and the beasts of the field under its shadow. And a watcher, a holy one, came from heaven to cut down the tree and leave the stump. Leave the stump. Now that stump meant just a faint promise that it would grow again. Very faint. It's spoken of in Genesis. Genesis 3. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's the faint hope that our first parents had, that the tree sometime would grow again. Time went on for a long time. God planted no more trees. The law was given to the Jews at Mount Sinai, and that offered them life. And only one, our Lord Jesus, won that prize. Time went on, and you know, at our Lord's resurrection, he opened up a new and living way. And God now is going to deal quite differently with those who would make a consecration with him. They were going to be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, of his own right hand planted. As the scripture we quoted, God hath begotten us. We are begotten of God with the word of truth. That means planted by Jehovah God. He's going to plant no more trees, but that tree of Adam, you know, representing Adam, that's going to be brought to life by you and me. It's going to sprout again. And God is going to use you and me to bring forth with our Lord Jesus those out of the tomb. And that tree representing all the entire world will be planted by the Christ. This wonderful privilege given to you and me in this gospel age will never be repeated. I think it must have amazed the holy angels when they see the humble ones of earth begotten of God to a new nature. It's most remarkable. Begotten with the word of truth to that wonderful divine nature. And if we are faithful in this, we don't have that glorious part in lifting up the whole world of mankind. The scripture that we read before in Isaiah 61:3, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And now the apostle tells us about these winds of adversity, showing that we must have these winds of adversity. He says, "Be that ye henceforth be no more children," not just babes in the truth, not children, "tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine." You see the Lord's method there? We're not to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Get right down into the divine plan of the ages and make sure you're right. Then you won't be tossed around by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. See what it does, dear friends? The roots go down, and our faith The roots of faith go down, and the new creature grows up into him. It builds that wonderful character where we will bear forth that fruit to his praise and honor. And in Revelation we read, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." If you remember our Lord, when he told the world, at his first advent, he said he was the bread of life that came down from heaven. And he said he had that water within him springing up. And this water is the water of truth and the bread of life, which is for the healing of the nation. In this picture, it speaks of water. And the other pictures, of course, the bread of life. But we are being prepared for this wonderful privilege of giving life to the world of mankind. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now I want to tell you, I want to bring to your attention another tree. "I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found." Now Satan plants trees. Yes, he plants trees, but they do not bear fruit. Like the green bay tree, they spread themselves. And you know the marginal reading of this scripture says, "in his own soil." Oh, yeah. That's just what they do, dear friends. They've had the truth some time, and they get another plan, a plan of their own. Yeah, they've all got a plan of their own soil. And if you've noticed, all these doctrines do not produce the fruits of the Spirit. They're not for peace. They're antagonistic. Just like this green bay tree growing in its own soil, in its own plan, its own theory. Satan can use one that's clever, particularly if he gets a little pride. Then they begin to make their own soil, as this scripture says, growing in their own soil. And they have lots of leaves. Oh, yes, these have lots of leaves. They spread themselves, showing themselves, their wisdom and their greatness. And soon, as the scripture said, you look for them there, find them no more. They've gone right out of the truth entirely to something else. But usually they take a lot with them. Now we have to have these winds of adversity as part of our strengthening of character. When we get these points so thoroughly fixed, we'll realize God's wisdom in that. There's nothing like being contradicted in the truth, you know. It makes us go right down for ourselves to find this out, give an answer to these things. And that is established in us. It's needful, as the scripture says, that these adversities come, but woe unto them by whom they come. They'll have their punishment. And we, dear friends, we take it right, we'll go deeper and deeper into the divine plan of the ages, and will be more established, and we'll see there's no bitterness in the heart. Have you ever noticed how these other doctrines, they're always on something that's non-essential? There was one dear sister said to me, she said, you know, I get literature here, and I get so much of it, I wish you'd look all that over for me so that I can answer them. Well, I said, dear sister, I wouldn't answer them. I don't know whether I've mentioned this point before, but this is a fact. It's due to repeat it. The expert counterfeiters never study the counterfeit. You know, in some of our banks, we have very clever clever experts on counterfeits. But they never study the counterfeits. All they do is study the true dollar or $10 or $5 bill. That's all they need to do. That's all you need to do with me, dear friends. That poor sister was worried. She was really worried. I said, you study the truth. Now, one brother, I'll just mention this particular point. She said, do tell me whether he's right. He said, our Lord was crucified on the Wednesday. I said, now look here. Suppose now our Lord was crucified on the Wednesday. What did he come for? He come as a ransom for you and me. He died. You're sure of that, aren't you? Yes. Well, why look at all these other things up? Now, that brother was cracking a nut and he dropped the whole kernel. He hadn't got the spirit of the truth at all. If he'd only looked to see that our Lord came at the right time, born at the right time, and crucified at the right time. He was crucified at the time they were killing their Passover lamb. He offered himself at the right time. But he was trying to make out the Bible was wrong. All that they're going to spend days and hours looking up this, that, and the other to prove the Bible is wrong. The kernel of that whole thing is Christ is our ransom. We're sure that he died and rose again for our justification. So I advise the poor sister to look in the divine plan of the ages. Study the truth, and immediately you'll see the fault in all these others. What time would we have, dear friends, if we studied every counterfeit? How many is it? You couldn't begin to count them. Fancy studying them all to show them brothers where they're wrong. You know, God is deluded, allowed them to be deluded. A little pride comes in the heart. And then the head goes wrong. You know, this wonderful truth has to come from the head to the heart. And the heart produces the fruit, the affection. If it only goes to the head, it's wonderful knowledge. If it only goes to the head, we get puffed up. Sound in brass and tink in symphony. So, dear friends, we can, I believe, take this warning. We have to have the winds of adversity. God wants established individual Christian characters in his kingdom, and he's given us time to do this. Now, in closing, I'd just like to sum the whole thing up. The Lord has given us a wonderful illustration, and particularly that we are planted of the Lord. We can appreciate that a little more. We will have the object in view, and his object, that you and me might bear fruit to his praise and his honor and his glory. Now, there's a little poem in closing I'd like to read. Trees of righteousness, how they bloom in a sun-scorched field mid gale and gloom. A heavenly force sustained them well. Yes, as a heavenly force, dear friends, enlisted for you and me, those wonderful guardian angels. And no one can pluck you out of the Father's hands. No one can pluck us out of the Father's hands. There's a heavenly force sustaining us well. And we have lots of food, lots of room for expansion of the mind. A heavenly force sustained them well under their leaves, your doctrines and mine, will the nations dwell. That's wonderful, isn't it? The doctrine that we are being established in today is going to be for the healing of the nations. Trees of righteousness planted sound with unerring skill in fertile ground. Though pests their sturdy roots did bite, they towered with amazing height. Now may the Lord bless you.
Brother Barrett, for this wonderful truth which we love to hear about, and I believe it would be proper to send a Christian loving greeting with the brother to his future destination. Would a couple of friends care to have that sent along with the brother? The most. Motion carried and accepted. The Brother Barrett carry a Christian loving greetings from the Buffalo Friends to wherever you may go. And now to Brother Barrett to ask, thanking for the blessings of this evening and dismissal. Brother Barrett.
Holy Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we ask to ask thee in gratitude. We thank thee the wonderful illustration that I've given us of thy care and the giving of thy Holy Spirit. Thank thee for picking up this wonderful book of the truths of righteousness. We pray thy help and guidance that we might not be shaken around with every wind of doctrine, but our faith might be firmly fixed in thee. In that wonderful plan of God. May the hope of being in that kingdom enthuse us, and quicken us, and energize us in our service. We thank thee for good and prosper. We thank thee, dear Father, for this. Many brethren with the same hope and looking forward to that wonderful kingdom. May we be comforted, encouraged, and blessed. May we see in thy promises the fulfillment, and that is very near. Bless each dear heart bowed here tonight, dear Father, and bless the absent ones, bless the aged and the infirm, and all those that love thee in the way to bless thee. Forgive us where we do come short, and forgive us still, we do pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.